collaboration between the National Institute for Reproductive Health and the Hispanic Federation. And the Hispanic Federation has 90 Latino health and human service agencies. So it's been really nice to partner with them because they really have sort of these tentacles that go out to all these different Latino organizations that don't necessarily have reproductive health as their focus, but they have the Latino community involved. And so it's been really great working with them because we were quickly able to access Latino communities and people to be involved. So the Latino Reproductive Rights Project seeks to understand, communicate with, educate, and mobilize Latinos to access comprehensive reproductive health care and protect a woman's right to choose. The project was developed in response to the growing reproductive health disparities in Latino communities. Okay, so these are some of the disparities. Hispanic women residing in the U.S. have twice the cervical cancer incidence rate of non-Hispanic whites. In New York City, more than half of all teen mothers were Latinas. You can see the other comparisons, 36.9 for African American, 2.8 for Asian teens, and 7.6 for white teens. Others are, Latinas are less likely than African Americans and whites to use a method of contraception at first intercourse. Latino teens report that they do not use condoms consistently or at all 71% of the time, whereas African American and whites use it 54% and 52%. And here, I always, when I work and teach, I always like to celebrate that the African Americans and whites are comparable as far as the condom usage. So we celebrate that the African American kids are using condoms more consistently, and I tell my Latino kids, you guys can do it too. So if we look at other indicators of, you know, disenfranchisement, well, you know what, maybe we need to have our moms talking more to us about putting on a condom in our community. The next slide, Latinos and African Americans make up 81% of new HIV cases in New York City. 61% Latinos and non-Latino whites are less likely to talk about HIV AIDS with an adult or family member than our African American students. So again, we can see things that might be helping at least the conversation. So I'm going to talk about two project components that we have in this, the Latino Reproductive Rights Project. And the first was that we did research on Latino knowledge and attitudes towards reproductive health care and rights to develop reproductive health choice and messages for Latino communities. And the second part was training adolescent and adult promotores, or health educators, or to develop voices and disseminate information in Latino communities. The participants for these focus groups were recruited based on their opinions regarding abortion so that we could develop culturally meaningful choice and reproductive health messages. The four focus groups were conducted. Two were with dominant English-speaking Latinos and two groups with dominant Spanish-speaking Latinos. Just a little background of how these groups were made up. Mostly 17 were Dominican, Puerto Rican, Central, South American, Mexican. You guys can see that quickly. Okay, here's some background demographics. The marital status split evenly across both groups. Participants with children and no children was also even for both groups of language, Spanish and English. And the majority of English speakers were registered voters. The Spanish speakers were a mix of registered and non-registered voters. Oops, I passed one up, I think. Oh, I think you're, did I go back? Okay. The age group distribution was fairly even among the Spanish and English speakers, but we did have a younger group around, we had more in the 20-29 age group who were English speakers, and then more Spanish speakers were in the 30-39 age group. Most English speakers had lived in the U.S. 20 or more years, and most Spanish speakers had been in the U.S. less than 20 years. And educational attainment for both groups was about the same. Here are our focus group findings. This is what the people said when they looked at the posters that were presented to them. They felt that the terminology such as reproductive health, family planning, and reproductive rights are confusing to both English and Spanish groups. I don't like the phrase reproductive health. People might not know what you're talking about. I think this is really a new term, reproductive health. They should say reproductive health is this, this, and this. And it's just English or female speaker, that's all parentheses, Spanish male. Okay. For the next term, pro-choice is a vague concept and difficult to translate. That doesn't have a correct connotation. It should be the right to reproduce yourself. So just looking at a pro-choice poster, seems strange wording. And they believe government plays an important role in funding reproductive health services for low-income women and protecting rights. Sometimes it's the government who pays for abortion. It's the taxpayers. The government must stay out of the doctor's offices. That was one of the posters. It was not clear to me. The government supports a lot of medical offices and clinics, so they have to take part. The government is providing money, so they have to know what is happening. Individuals support educational campaigns. I listen to radio programs. Oops, individual support educational campaign. I listen to radio programs where people have questions for gynecologists. There are health fairs, there are ads where people can get informed. We need more information so people know what their rights are. People have rights even though they are in this country illegally. And then participants respond most positively to communication materials that reference and feature men's roles in contraceptive and abortion decision making. It's not effective. It says she makes the decision, but she's alone there. The male is missing there. How'd she get pregnant? If we say it's by the law, then we are contradicting ourselves because we've said we decided about our contraceptives and our body. If we decide to take our contraceptives, then why are we going to tell him we're going to have an abortion? Okay, and then here's just, because I just find these interesting, these were the views on abortion, that how the groups were recruited. And I don't really know what they have and they don't have, but I think it's up to me to decide. Most of you of us come from poor countries where most of the population lives in poverty. If her child is going to have a hard time, I don't think we men can tell her, no, you have to have it. It's her decision. It's her body, and she knows why to make that decision. Another group, another quote. I agree with abortion if my wife's health is in danger. I agree if my daughter gets raped, but not if it's inconvenient. Parents should be notified if they are minors. There was a case at Columbia Presbyterian where two girls died. It should be controlled, just like cigarettes to minors. These are the posters that we've developed as a result of some of the feedback from the groups. And the language is very sort of simple, and I have, it's also in Spanish. I support a woman's right to make personal decisions, and it describes, you know, no one should prevent women from having access to contraceptive medical care during pregnancy and or a legal and safe option to end a pregnancy if that's your decision. Being pro-choice means having the freedom to make decisions about your health and health of your family. In Spanish, we had, yo apoyo a las mujeres para que ejerzan su derecho a tomar sus propias decisiones, which doesn't say anything about reproductive health or pro-choice. It's just, you know, kind of a direct translation about choice, having being able to make your own decisions. Here's one in Spanish. Queremos poder decidir si deseamos tener hijos y cuándo tenerlos. I don't need to translate it. Okay. Okay, and then another one in English, but we also have it in Spanish. All these are in English and Spanish. Spanish, English. No one can deny us the right to make decisions about our health. Nadie puede negarnos el derecho a tomar decisiones sobre nuestra salud. Okay, and then so these posters and pamphlets that we produce, there's another pamphlet I have stuff in the back that if you guys like, you're welcome to take any of these posters if you find them helpful to you or your agency. So we distributed them with the Hispanic Federation, your large network of different agencies that serve work in the communities of New York, council members, assembly members, different conferences, as you can see, and all the different workshops that we've held and community forums. The second part was training adolescent and adult promotores to develop voices and disseminate information in Latino communities. The Latino Reproductive Right trains adult and youth promotores to increase knowledge of Latino reproductive health disparities. In turn, the promotores will disseminate the information by conducting sessions within their agency and or community. Ongoing technical assistance is provided. Since 1,600 people reached in the community through these different efforts of the different agencies. Here they are in the training. Those are little adolescents in the bottom, and most of the other people are educators already working in the field of in health education. If any of you are familiar with any of these groups in New York, in the New York area, that collaborated with us. So basically, I went to these different groups and did trainings with their staff and or promotores and or with the coordinators that work with the teens or myself training the teens directly if the coordinators didn't feel that they had that capacity at that time. So it sort of varied. These were the training topics that we focused on, some of the issues that you saw there. Although we had a lot of different disparities that I would present, adolescent pregnancy rates, which then we'd also talk about contraception and abortion, introducing and making sure information's out there about emergency contraception, HIV/AIDS and condom use, as you saw the statistic earlier, cervical cancer and HPV, cervical cancer and information on the vaccine, as people really want to know about that. And then also, even though they are educators and work in the community, another piece was really having them practice and having facilitation and presentation skills just to help them, you know, integrate this information and be comfortable with it. So the thing was that with these different agencies, they did different things. So one agency, for example, the Dominican Women's Development Center, they actually had promotoras. They had HIV promotoras, so it was really easy to have them integrate these new topics on disparities and talk to the community about them. And how do they work? They go out in the street in Washington Heights, and they randomly meet whoever, and if they're lucky, they're able to talk to someone between 5 and 20 minutes and talk to them about whether they could talk to a parent and encourage them to talk to their teens about sexuality by talking about the high adolescent pregnancy or HIV. They could talk about HPV and the new vaccine and cervical cancer. So we figured that we had to make a curriculum guide that was really flexible, somewhere where they could either talk for 5 minutes and maybe all they were going to talk about was HIV. Or maybe if they really got someone who was curious, they'd give them the whole spiel of HIV, adolescent pregnancy, you know, HPV, and what was the other thing? Emergency contraception, right? And so in this way, they would pick and choose. And also they were given, I made a little, you know, table so they could say, okay, they spoke to a woman who was whatever, an adult, they spoke to a teenager, and what were the topics that I talked about with this person. The guide was made both in English and Spanish, so they could either spend that amount of time. Then there were other groups that I worked with, other agencies, and they were in a clinic. So they either had, you know, a situation like this where they could do waiting room presentations, kind of similar, where you quickly have to talk about some information while people are sitting in the waiting room, and or they had these ongoing groups where they would meet this ongoing group that were, I don't know, maybe it was an asthma group, but they, for that one time, they could talk about some of the reproductive health disparities and encourage, if there was a group of women, you know, talking, the importance of talking to your kids about sexuality, et cetera. So, and then there's also the other agencies were school-based settings. Some of them worked directly in the schools, and they did their sessions while the kids were in the classroom. And if any of you have taught in the classroom, they say you have 40 minutes, but you know you really only have 30 if you're lucky, because you spend 10 reprimanding and making sure the classroom is under control so you can do your work. And so they needed something a little more enticing, which we kick off that session with a role play so that the kids have it, it's more interactive. And all these things have like these cards that you can either talk about this subject, that subject, or whatever, or if there's a big crowd, then you can use these cards and have the people all, you know, be giving you information and have it be more interactive than you know, sitting here doing a one-on-one presentation like this, a lecture. Anyway, so that was sort of the thing that I think was really important for these agencies, to find out how these agencies worked, who they worked with, and what were their time limitations, so that really, if we were going to give them something that they could do, we had to make it easy for them to do it, and really know how they worked so that we could adapt it to who they were working with. Okay, then we did media briefings, and these are who we did them with. One great cover story, which always was, I was like so happy, and we have a copy in the back, that El Diario La Prensa, which is a really large paper in New York, covered us. They put us on the front page, you know, Hispanas pueden prevenir el cáncer cervical, and then they had a whole page on their health day. I guess we got lucky, it was their health day, the whole page on cervical cancer and the projects that we were working on. And for me as an educator, I was like, wow, you know, we just reached how many people in New York? You know, how many people are reading this that aren't necessarily sitting in a classroom or a clinic or, you know, hopefully running into a promotor out in the street. So, and we've had a lot of help throughout this campaign with city council members in New York. And Maria del Carmen Arroyo, she's the councilwoman in the Bronx, and she attended, and she's been very active in helping us, whatever, logistically, here's a place you can hold your community forum, or I'll be at the press conference. And so that's been nice for them to see both, you know, for them to be involved and also for us to kind of hold them accountable and say, hey, we need your help to support us on these different policies that might be coming up. We also had an interview with CNN on the Supreme Court ruling on partial birth abortion, and then also we attended one for the Dominican Women's Development Center, which had the declaration for legalized abortion in the Dominican Republic, although that's going international. Sort of the collaboration and partnership building is important. The community forums, we organized the community forums at which community members, sexual and reproductive health care providers and educators, community and legislative leaders are invited to discuss Latino reproductive health disparities. Gathering will urge community and legislative leaders to safeguard our Latino sexual and reproductive health by working to eliminate these disparities. And this is really our hope, is that because they're there and they again helped us with different things about putting these forums together, these were the council members, that they see that there's a community out there, that these are urgent issues for them, and we need their support. They were actually very active. I was sort of like, wow, cool. You know, they were actually talking about different issues, and some were very well-versed in some of the topics, which was impressive to me. And even though we had these forums at a really, you know, like 12 to 2 o'clock, we managed to get people who, you know, always feels good. Here's our little forums and people eating after. And then we had a part where it wasn't just here we're presenting to you, these are some of our disparities, but this is what the community, we had a time for them to tell us what is it that we need, what are we not doing enough, and these were some of their the feedback. Need for parent education, coaching for adults and parents in the community to talk about these issues. Solicit more support from the government and the Department of Education to have more sex ed in the schools. More effective marketing. Join pregnancy prevention groups, i.e. myspace.com, and they want to learn about scholarships. Other issues that came up. It's important to take culture as a consideration when we approach people. Encouraging male involvement. Staying active helps reduce the risk of teen pregnancy. There should be more facilities, centers, and resources for children to access. Teens need to have access to immediate attention. Celebrate women's accomplishments, passion, power, womanhood, empower women. And this one to me is important because it seems like, you know, we get up and we show these statistics and they're very heartbreaking when we start looking at some of the disparities and some of the issues and the larger issues of poverty and disenfranchisement. And you know what? At the same time, we have to remind ourselves that as immigrants to this country, you know, we've surpassed a lot of different barriers. And so that, you know, I see this as these are things that we can overcome. And so I think to stress this point whenever we talk about these reproductive health disparities is important because we can do something about it. And things are being done and things are changing, but not to disconnect it from our experience as immigrants and the different things that our parents and our people have gone through just coming to this country. Just a quick list of some other little accomplishments that we just had. Had the bilingual website, yay. Sometimes it seems like that should be a normal thing, but sometimes you have to really fight for it. And here's some lessons learned. Explore particular needs and working environment of each collaborating agency. Community forums are a great vehicle to identify groups for workshops and materials distribution. Can be done early in the intervention to kick off the project. Important to provide interns and community workers active roles in the outreach activities to increase their vested interest in the mission. You'll be amazed how many fun and magical people you will find when you open the doors and give them opportunities to do stuff. Make it easy. Adapt training guides and all materials to agency and promotora needs. This will facilitate the integration of new topics into their existing workload. Make time to involve the media, large and small community papers. They need stories. That's what I really learned. Was like, wow, they want stories. I mean, they are so hungry for stories that you know we should be writing them and informing the community this way. Legislative leaders want and need to be involved. Help community use their own words to spread the word on reproductive health and rights. And we did a short, it was like an APHA for teenagers at this group, Community Healthcare Action and Network, and did a session with teens. And they had to, after they were presented sort of the disparities, they had to, I said, okay guys, now you have 10 minutes to come up with a rap or a poem. And they had the stuff posted all over so they could refer to it along the walls. And this is one poem. And I just love it because they truly, you know, they had 10 minutes and then after they had to read the poem and all the kids came up with something. And so people can come up with stuff and even, you know, fun stuff that speaks more to who they want to speak to. And this is by a 16-year-old, I guess she's 17, Elizabeth Frontan, and in 10 minutes this is what she came up with. I don't want to be another statistic or another little girl who made a poor decision and ended up pregnant. I don't want to be another young girl who didn't use her head and is now lying on a bed. She was just having some fun. She thought using a condom was whack, so she decided to have sex, to have unprotected sex. Now she's crying her heart out. I don't want to be part of the 10 million ages 50 to 24 that get infected with HPV. I don't want to be one of the 3 out of 10 teens that had a baby and no high school and now can't pursue her dreams. I am Latina. I am Dominican. I am 17, and I'm going to finish my dream. You see, I'm going to finish high school soon, and I'm going to follow through because my future matters to me. My mommy counts on me to be something. I count on myself to make changes in the Bronx. I'm not going to be part of the 52.4% of the girls that are now mothers and doesn't have a clue. But I know that I do. So when tomorrow starts with me, I'm going to be somebody. And 10 minutes. And then she just looked at these facts and she integrated them. And I was like, wow, home. And that's it, guys. And there's our little website. We have stuff that you can download so that you can adapt our guides or whatever you want and make it useful to you. So this stuff will be available on our website, and I have hard copies of curricula and other stuff for you in the back. Thank you.